Turn in your Bible to John chapter 4. I'm glad there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Amen. I'm glad Jesus made a difference in my life, gave me joy. Amen. And a reason to live. I mentioned about upcoming things I failed to mention. This Saturday is the nursing home singing. If you can join in with that and help us sing at the nursing home, that is this Saturday. And then also having the reception for the wedding, Joshua and Katie's wedding. We're having a reception here at the church, particularly for those that wasn't able to go out there. And that way you can get in on some of the festivities. I think Miss Katie's going to be dressed in her wedding dress. Amen. Have her wedding garments on. Amen. And they'll have the, cakes and, little stuffs with it, nuts and mints and that kind of stuff. Amen. Finger foods, I guess that's what you call that. And that'll be this Saturday at 2 o'clock. That's for everybody that can come. You'll be a part of that if you can. And those are things I failed to mention. If you can come out for those things, remember the nursing home singing and then the reception on Saturday. Amen. And then, Lord willing, revival starting up on Sunday. So be looking forward to that and praying that God be with us. John chapter number 4 is where I want to take my text from. I preached from this the last couple of Sundays that I preached. And to be honest with you, I mentioned that I had a prayer request. Thank you, brother. I mentioned that I had a prayer request as you were praying. I don't have notes in front of me. I normally preach with notes. There's been a few times that I haven't, but normally I preach with notes. And I feel like it keeps me on track. It keeps my thoughts maybe from wandering too far. Sometimes they still get out of the notes, you know, and out in places. But I feel like that I actually do a better job as far as for the Lord. I'm not trying to impress you or people necessarily, but I want to do right by my Lord. Amen. I want to please Him. And I feel like I can do that better with notes. And I thought about putting down some things on notes, and I thought, no, I'm going to go a different direction this morning. And so I've got some notes with me, and if the Lord don't change my mind, I may use them tonight and push off what I'd planned on tonight on down the road. But when I came in Sunday school this morning, actually when Joshua started, I don't know, I don't know that he said anything that actually spurred me in this direction. I just felt like the Lord said, you need to finish up with John chapter 4. So I'm going to try that today without notes. So you pray for us as we do that. We'll start with verse number 1 reading. And I preached the first message. I preached down through about verse number, 11 or 12? Or 13. I preached down through verse number 13, I guess, somewhere along those lines. Then last week I came and went through verse number 26. And today I want to pick up at verse 27. But I want us to read verse 1. We'll read right through that. It'll be a lot of Bible reading. Some of this will be enough Bible reading for you to do for a month. Amen. You can check it off. I read a verse, amen, whatever. Amen. All right. Verse number 1 of John chapter number 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That means it was about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? I say again, I can't help but chuckle when I read that. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Is he ever greater? Amen. which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his cattle, his children and his cattle. Jesus answered unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Let me stop just a minute. I touched on this last week. Our Lord was not being mean to her when he reminded her of her sin. He was leading her in a direction to realize this man is more than meets the eye. And that's exactly how she started thinking. Look at the next verse, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And we'd say, duh. She goes on talking religious. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. By the way, again, her thought process. He's dealing with that. God deals with your thinking process. I don't know if you heard Brother Massengale's message this morning on the radio. He's dealing with that. That God leads people to thinking in a direction to bring them to acknowledgement of Christ. Amen. And I'd never heard anybody deal with that, but that's been my thought process in these days. Christ was dealing with her, bring her to a thought process to realize this man is more than meets the eye. His words mean more than meets the ear. And so she says, I perceive you're a prophet. She goes into this question about our Israel. The Jews say we go to Jerusalem to worship, or you say that. But our fathers say they worship God on this mountain, and they say this is good enough. And it's not, in the past, I used this last week, but in the past I've used that as maybe she's trying to produce an argument. I don't now think she was. I really believe she's come to that conclusion. She said, if I'm going to look for the truth, where do I find it? Where do I find it? That's where sinners got to get, by the way. Amen. Sinners got to get to the place that they're searching for the truth before they can ever get any help. Amen. And Jesus just plainly said, you worship, you don't know what, you don't know what you worship. You're ignorant about this. Now, he's not making fun of her. He's not being mean to her. He's just revealing to her the facts, all right? But he does say, not only are you looking, but he said, the Father's looking. The Father seeketh such to worship him, all right? Verse number 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So now she's looking for the Christ. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She has found the man she's been looking for. Praise God. Verse number 27 now is where we'll pick up for today. Verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labors. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We'll stop there with our text reading. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we're so thankful this morning for Jesus.
Yes.
Precious blood of your cross, your suffering.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Help, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, in the messages that I've preached before, I've called it Quenching the Thirsty Soul. I guess this would be part 3 of Quenching the Thirsty Soul. And the text that I read, of course, I read all to get you up to it, but you notice that from verse number 31 to verse number 37 is a paragraph all its own. That it's not the story of the woman at the well. It's Christ using that story and using that time as a teaching moment, as a parable to teach his disciples something about sowing and reaping. He has sent them to sow and to reap. But the story of John 4, through especially through verse number 42, is this woman at the well. Now, I've talked to you about how that Christ, I believe Christ brings a sinner, Christ initiates the conversation, he brings a sinner to a point of inflection, looking upon themselves, recognizing where they are, recognizing the emptiness that is in them. By the way, one of the reasons why he told her to go get her husband, he's been talking about a thirst. He brought up the fact, give me to drink. He was weary. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He was tired. He's in his physical body. He sent his disciples into town to buy meat. Amen. And he's sitting on the well. I don't think he's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. I personally don't think he's just there out of weariness. I think he's there on a divine errand from God. Amen. But I also believe that he is physically tired. The Bible says so. And while he's there, this woman comes, and so he's obviously thirsty. He asks her for help. Amen. And he asked for water. Why is he asking her for water? Don't you know that he could supply himself with water? The angels could minister to him. They've done that in the past. They could do that very thing. But why does he ask her for water? I believe it is to show her she's desperate. He looks desperate, but he's looking at her and he sees that she's desperate. He sees that she's got a thirst that she's never maybe admitted to, never reckoned with. And so he brings that up about the thirst. Well, she don't get it when he's talking about water. And he's talking about thirsting and never thirsting. She just don't comprehend that. So he says, go get your husband. Well, there proves where her inner thirst was. Because she's had 5 husbands, and now she's shacking with a man. Amen. And our Lord is showing her, you've got a hunger, you've got a thirst that you've not found satisfaction for in this world. And by the way, you're not going to find it. Amen. That's the point I believe that he's bringing to her as well. You're not going to find it. So he's bringing her thought process up to that. She sees herself. But God, in his wisdom, not only lets the sinner see themselves. By the way, let me stop just a minute and say, there's where the uncomfortableness comes in. People don't like to look at their self. Amen. Amen. Now, some people would have you to believe that they think they are so good looking, they just love to look at themselves, but deep down inside, they're not that dumb. If you think you are, they ain't nobody in this building, amen, good enough to think, I'll just love to look at myself. Amen. We're all made out of the same clay. People don't like to see themselves, especially to point out their faults. Amen. Amen. We don't like it. It's uncomfortable. And so that's what, by the way, the Word of God's a mirror. And when the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God takes it, it shows us ourselves. But He don't leave us there. Christ not only showed her need, herself, but He wants her to see who He is. Amen. And so He leads her in that thought process to bring her to that place that she sees this is more than a man. This is more than just a Jew. This is somebody that knows something about the law, knows something about God, knows something about spirituality. Amen. And so she starts asking him some spiritual questions. Where are we supposed to go? How are we going to find the truth? Well, he says, you don't know, for salvation is of the Jews. How's salvation of the Jews? The Jews have the law. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to bring us to the point of salvation. The law was not to save. The law was never intended to save. Amen. Amen. I know we're almost past the day of having maps. Everybody's got GPSs now. You get on the phone, but if you buy a map that you stretch out, the Grays that were here, Glendon Gray and his wife, they use GPS, but they like to get a map of a state. Every time they go in that state, they get a map of that state. And they was talking about that. That map cannot, listen to me, that map cannot get you from point A to point B. It can just show you where those two points are. And it can show you how to get to those points. The law was never meant to bring you from point A to point B. The law was meant to show you those two vast differences. The law was to show you the vast spans between you and God. Amen. To show you you're not near as good as you think you are. You're not near as close to heaven as you think you are. You don't have ability to get there on your own. It's to show you the vast space and spans between those two points. But it's also to show you the route. How to get from point A, which is being lost, to point B, which is being saved. How do you get there? Only through the Son of God. Amen. And so she realized, I need Messiah to tell me these things. I need Messiah to show me these things. All right. And so she asked that question, and our Lord gives... I love the way the Lord answers. By the way, the Lord does not play peekaboo with sinners. The Lord does not play hide and seek with sinners. Amen. When the Lord dangles salvation in front of you, it's more like an apple tree dangling that apple than it is a fisherman dangling the bait in front of the fish. By the way, a lot of people have the idea of salvation is like that the bait's thrown out there and the minute you reach for it, they pull it in. Amen. But really the fishermen don't want to pull that bait in front of that fish. He wants the fish to get the bait so he can pull the fish and all in. Amen. When that apple's dangling that fruit out for you, that fruit is, if it's ripe, at the point it's supposed to be, that fruit is more likely to fall into your hands if you reach for it than it is to hang on the tree and you have to break the limb to get the fruit off the tree. Salvation, when Christ offers it to sinners, He's not reaching out there and hoping they'll reach and then He'll pull it back. He's interested in sinners being saved. He's seeking them. So if they'll reach towards Him, seeking Him, He can be found of them. Amen. And so this woman gets her question answered. Our Lord, she says, I know when Messiah comes, He'll tell us all this. He said, I that speak unto them, He. In other words, He'd say, you found Him. You found Him. All right, verse number 27 picks that up. He's interrupted by His disciples. His disciples come back at this point. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no man said, why seekest thou, or what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? It looks like they didn't say anything to her, and they're surprised that He said anything to her. But they didn't say anything to Him because they were afraid of what He would say. He had that much authority over them. But look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. and saith unto men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. Here's the point. She left her water pot and went back and told some people about what she had just found, the discovery she had just made. Amen. I read one fellow said she left her water pot there as a symbol that she's coming back. I don't believe that. I don't believe she intentionally left her water pot there. I think she left her water pot there because she forgot about her water pot. She's so excited about the living water that she has found, she forgot about the physical water that she was searching for. She's so excited that she goes back into the city. By the way, the same people she was ashamed to be seen with before. That's why she came out at noonday. She didn't want to be in the crowd. She didn't want them to see her. She probably lived a life of a recluse somewhat because she's ashamed of how she'd been. Now she goes boldly into the city and says to the men, how come she's talking to the men? Because they know her. They know the life she's lived. Amen. She goes back into that city and she says to them, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. I get excited about that story because I believe salvation ought to be an exciting thing. Amen. Amen. It ought not be, are you saved? Yes. Or how about this? Oh, victory in Jesus. That ain't how salvation ought to be. Amen. Salvation is better than the Dallas Cowboys. Salvation is better than Duke Blue Devils. Salvation is better than UK. Salvation is better than any of that. Salvation is better than the best thing that ever happened to you. I mean, there's no comparison. Amen. Salvation is better. So we ought to be excited about what Jesus has done for us. This woman, when she realized who He was, it excited her. But it excited her so much that she didn't just get jittery and just melt right there where she was. She went back and told somebody about how good this thing was that she'd just found. Amen. That's how it ought to be with us. Amen. I don't think that you ought to be browbeat into telling somebody about Jesus. You ought not have to be browbeat to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. You ought to be so in love with Jesus and so enthused with Jesus that it ought to just ooze out of you. I mean, just what? Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. That ought to be how we experience this thing. I realize we're not always all up on the mountain peak, but there ought to be times. Amen. There ought to be times when we've just come from an encounter with Him. Maybe been reminded of how good He is and how glorious this salvation is. Amen. And there ought to be times that we're excited about it and times that it comes out of our mouth, comes out of our... We forget our embarrassment. We forget maybe our backwardness. We forget our water pot. We forget what we went to town for. We just get excited about telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. She went back into town and told them, left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this Christ? Here's something I thought about in this verse. You notice she says that as a question. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She asks it in a question. She's not pounding the pulpit and preaching a sermon. Amen. She's not saying, listen, fellas, I know y'all good as y'all know me, and what you need is what I got now. No, she wasn't preaching to them men. She was saying, I found something so wonderful. Could this be anything less than salvation? Could this be anything less than what the Bible has been telling us about all along? She's not an authority, but she is a recipient. She has recognized it. Amen. Can I tell you that when you do witness to your family, you ought to be careful to recognize it's not your job to preach to them or to straighten them out or to, you know, you be the authority. No, but it is your job to let them know that what you found, you believe is the real thing. It is the right thing and you're just rejoicing in it. Amen. Could it be any better than this? Amen. When somebody says, let me tell you about the beer I drank, or let me tell you about the dope I smoked, or let me tell you about what I done this weekend, you could honestly say to them, listen, Listen, before you start all that, let me tell you what I did this week. I don't believe yours could compare to how good my weekend was. Amen. It ought to be that way. She's so excited about it. But she says, he told me all things that ever I did. Now that's something interesting to me. He told me all things that ever I did. My whole life flashed in front of my eyes. That's, we've heard that phrase, haven't we? Whenever you hear that phrase, my whole life flashed before my eyes, what does that mean? Usually that means you came to a point near death. You came to a point not only near death, you thought death was imminent. That's where you got to get saved, friend. Amen. I believe that's where you got to get saved. You got to get to a place that you recognize that you're not only headed to hell, but buddy, I mean, hell is breathing down your neck. You can feel the heat on your collar. You can feel the flames at your feet. You get to that point that you recognize my whole life has come before me, and I recognize my whole life is one big mess. Jesus didn't go into detail with her about all the... He did mention five husbands, five marriages. He counted every one of them, by the way. People say, well, now they don't count before the cross. That was before her getting to the cross, and he counted every one of them. Amen. He counted them. And he didn't make excuses for it, and he didn't say, well, but I know that this person did this, and the second... No, he said, he's showing her she is wrong five times. And he said, the one you're with now is not your husband. You're wrong now still. You're still wrong in what you're doing. So her whole life, she saw it as one big mess. Again, that's why sinners get uncomfortable in the house of God. Because the Word of God not only shows us our life, we see it as what it really is in the light of God's Word. One big mistake. One big mess. One problem after another, after another, after another. Amen. She saw that in reality. And then she said, she ended that prayer, he told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Who could know all about me? And who could know all about you but Jesus? Is there anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, you can, but anybody here went to church before you saved and felt like, that preacher has been reading my mail? Amen. Somebody told him about me. I know he has to be talking to me. I know he has to be talking about me. And somebody had to have told him. That's how she felt right there. Amen. By the way, that's what the Holy Ghost does, is he brings you to the place. He does read your mail. Amen. He does recognize where you are, and he wants you to recognize where you are. Amen. And she got to that place and she said, this has to be God. It has to be God. Friend, if you're sitting in the house of God this morning, or if you're driving down the road listening to the radio, and the Holy Ghost is reading your mail, and he's showing you all things that ever you did, that's a good time for you to recognize that's God. That's not somebody that's ratted you out. That's not somebody that's trying to make fun of you. That's somebody who wants to offer you some help, and that somebody is Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can help. And she says to them, man, this has got to be the right one. Amen. Got to be the right one. Is not this the Christ? Look at verse number 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Amen. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She did not become their spiritual advisor. She pointed them to him. Amen. She didn't say, now I'm your spiritual elder now because I got saved a few minutes before you did, and so I know more than you do, and so you need to follow me. No, she wasn't drawing a following after herself. They went to him. But do you ever wonder, why did they go to him? They said later they believed because they heard him more than just having heard her. Amen. Amen. But here's what I thought about. Brother Hall, I thought about this. When that woman got saved, and I was thinking about your... The book on your life and your own salvation experience and the life change there. When this woman went back into town, all excited about salvation, they saw something different in her that they hadn't seen before. Amen. She's been talking about other men before, but this other fella is different. She's found what her soul has been longing for. She's looking, she has found what she has been looking for all this time. So she goes back into the city excited. She goes back into the city entirely changed. Amen. She goes, and by the way, when you go to tell your family and your friends about Jesus, you not only have to tell them, you have to show them the difference in your life. Amen. They got to not only hear it, your words bragging about Jesus, they got to notice you don't use some of them same words you used to use. You don't go to some of those same places you used to go. Amen. You don't do some of those same things you used to do. You say, preacher, are you saying salvation changes people? Absolutely. I believe if it don't change you, it didn't save you. I think that's obvious in the Scriptures. Why are you no different? Amen. Amen. There will be a change, but they have to see that. Amen. I mentioned this morning Sunday school a statement Brother Kirkman made in his message yesterday at Brother Logson's. He mentioned this too. He's talking about years ago, this preacher that he met, a young preacher, took a church in town. And he got on the bus, and it's back when, and I don't remember these days, but I never lived in a city like that, but where they ride the bus, and it cost 20 cents. It took 2 dimes to ride the bus. And they just had a little bowl or something there that you dropped it in. Some of you may know about that. I didn't know it. This preacher got on the bus, and he's riding, and a lot of people got off at the same time. So as he's going off, he goes to drop his 2 dimes in that little tray, and he only dropped one. And he didn't realize it till he got off. I mean, you know, the crowd, they're off. But he gets off there, and he realizes he still got another dime. And so he turns back, and the fellow had already shut the door, and he knocked on the door, and the fellow opens it up, and he said, sir, I'm sorry, I only dropped 1 dime in that offering. I mean, in that tray for riding the bus. And the driver said, I know it. I saw you. And the driver said, by the way, aren't you that new preacher of the church down the road? And the boy said, yes, sir, I am. And the man said, I'm glad you came and brought that dime back. What time's your service this Sunday morning? Amen. And he went to church and got saved. Now, he knew that fella didn't play. Don't you think he said, just like a lot of preachers or like a lot of so-called Christians, he's going to cheat me? Amen. He thinks he can get by because the crowd's come through, and he could have probably got by. Maybe nobody else would have noticed, and he didn't know that the driver noticed. Amen. But I'm telling you, the world's watching me and you. What they need to see about our salvation is not just what goes on in the church house. Amen. Not just what happens around the well. They need to see it down in town. They need to see it back at the house. They need to see it out on the job. Amen. This woman got all excited and came, told them about Jesus. They came. All right, now, here's that little paragraph that's inserted, verse 31 through 37. I'm not going to deal with that a lot, but just to tell you what I believe it's saying. The disciples say to him, Master, eat. And he says, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. I have meat to eat. They said, did somebody bring him something to eat? No, nobody brought him anything to eat. But just like the woman forgot her water pot, forgot her physical thirst, he'd forgot his physical hunger and thirst because he's doing the will of God. He's excited about another soul being saved. Amen. He knows what's going on. By the way, we've all experienced that. You get excited about something, doing something, get involved in some job or something that is exciting and enthusing, and especially if it's encouraging, and you forget about mealtime. Amen. Before that, he had been hungry and thirsty and weary. But now he's rejuvenated because he's doing the will of God. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Amen. And then he goes into that thing about doing the will of him that sent me and finishing the work. He goes to verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. That's a question. Is that what you say? You say, sow in time, and then there's later, 4 months later, is harvest time. He says, that's not what time it is. I don't say to you, wait down the road for a harvest. He said, I say, lift up your eyes, for the fields are already white unto harvest. Now, if they had managed to lift up their eyes, they might have seen some men making their way from the city, headed to the well, amen, having heard what that woman had said, amen. The fields are already white unto harvest. Now, we know that is true in our day. Amen. It's not, well, I'm saved, but I'll tell you what, I believe I need to study this thing out for about 20 years before I tell anybody. Hello? No. If you have found Christ, then you can tell somebody else that there's a possibility of them finding Christ. Amen. And I think you know me. I'm not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and ram it down their throat and all that. But there ought to be a burden, and there ought to be an enthusiasm, and there ought to be an excitement, and there ought to be a zeal that says, I got to tell it. Whether they listen or not. I'm not here to count numbers. She wasn't saying, if I witness to 20, then I can quit. No. She's just telling everybody she could tell about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And excited about it. Didn't matter to her if they got saved or not. In one sense, it was. Oh, by the way, let me back up and say this. I said you ought not have to be browbeat into telling people about Jesus. But also, you ought not have to. We talk about getting a burden. And that idea, look on the fields, they're white already on the harvest. We use that as getting a burden. But it shouldn't just be that, well, I'm so concerned about their soul that I'm going to tell them about Jesus. That's good in its degree. But there also ought to be, an addition of this. Not just how bad they are, but how good He is. Amen. How good He is. That I want to tell them about the Savior. Amen. That He did this for me. Even me. Surely He can do something for them. Amen. Amen. And they'll find Him so sweet. They'll find Him so wonderful. And they'll find Him everything that He promised to be and more. Amen. That was the idea. Lift up thy eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And verse 36, He that reapeth receiveth wages. There's a payday coming. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Amen. Herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap. And I notice that, not I will send or I do send, I sent. Amen. I've called you unto myself and made you to be fishers of men. I've done that. That whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you're entered into their labors. What's he talking about there? Well, I believe logically and technically, he's talking about you've been talking to the Jews, and the Jews have the law. They've had the prophets. Samuel preached to them. Elijah preached to them. Elisha preached to them. You just go down the line. They've had the prophets. Moses with the law. They had the seed has been sown. Now, your job is not just to sow more sowing. There's a time for reaping. Amen. Now, I know we're not in harvesting days like Pentecost was or whatever, maybe, but I don't believe we've got excuses for all that. But I believe at the same time, seeds have been sown. By the way, we're not living in Spurgeon's days, but there are some people that the seed was sown by Spurgeon. Amen. There was some that the seed was sown by some of these other men that we could talk about. Maybe the seed was sown, and maybe we can enter in on their labors if we'll just tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe some grandma been praying for some sinner boy out yonder somewhere, and we have the opportunity to reach them with the gospel. Amen. Enter into their labors. That both, they that sow and they that reap, may receive wages. Amen. It's not that we get a big name for ourselves, it's that we're bringing glory unto God, bringing fruit in unto Him. Amen. And so this woman at the well got so enthused about what she found. It's like the song they sang. She said, I must go and tell. I must go and tell about the water at the well. Amen. So then they come back, verse 39, here's the men coming in. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. Amen. They believed on Him for the saying of the woman. Apparently, women can invite people to Christ. Amen. Apparently, women can bring people under the sound of the gospel. I'm not calling them preachers. I don't believe they're supposed to preach. Amen. Matter of fact, there's men that are not called to preach, but that don't mean they can't tell people about Jesus. That don't mean they can't bring people under the sound of the gospel. Amen. She didn't preach to them and them get saved, but she testified to them about what He had done for her, amen. And they came and heard and believed themselves, it says, amen. Amen. And so they came and believed on him for the sin of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, there's where salvation is. Salvation is getting to Jesus. Amen. Whether that happens at what we call an old-fashioned altar in the front of the church, or whether that happens in a Sunday school room in front of a chair, or whether it happens in your living room at a coffee table, wherever that, if it happens at a hospital, laying on a hospital bed, wherever you get to Jesus, that's where you'll find salvation. Amen. Amen. But you don't come to Him on your terms. Amen. What good would it have done them to come to this well if He'd left? Amen. He had to be there. He had to be drawing. He had to be working. Amen. When they came to Him, when they were come to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And I'm almost done, but listen to this. And many more believed because of His own word. Amen. They believed because of His word. It's what I like. They didn't believe because of His miracles. Because I can't see that He performed any miracles. He stayed 2 days. They didn't ask Him to stay just so they could see a miracle. Like Herod hoped to see some miracle at His hand. Amen. Sometimes people say, I'll tell you why people ain't getting saved at church. Because we don't have anything exciting happening. Because we don't have miracles happening. Somebody's short arm gets as long as their long arm or whatever. We don't have those miracles taking place in the house of God. That's not what saves people. They didn't get saved because of His miracles. Instead, they got saved because of His Word. Amen. Amen. Because of His Word. This is what you got to believe. You got to believe His Word. He that believeth on My words. Amen. That's what He's talking about. So you got to believe what He said. You got to believe the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. They said they believed His... Let me find it now. And many more believed because of His own Word... And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen and amen. Here's what they said. They said, we saw your change. We know you're different. We know He saved you. But now we know more than just that He saved you. He can save whosoever will. He can save anybody in the world because we found Him that He could save us by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, in these apartments over here across the creek, houses up and down the road, there are sinners there that need to hear the gospel. They're not tuning in the radio. Amen. Maybe they are, but they're not paying attention. Amen. They're not coming into the church house. Amen. Now, I'm not saying, well, let's get some organized, but I'm not against organized visitation, by the way, but I'm not saying that if that's the only reason you go, you're messed up. That woman didn't go because it happened to be a Thursday night and they had regular visitation night on Thursday night. She went because she was excited. Amen. She went because she is just amazed that this man, Jesus, was there and He could save her from her sin. And she believed He could do the same for them. Amen. The gospel will get out of the four walls of the church when we get excited about what Jesus has done. When we get amazed at what Jesus can do. Because, listen, if you're saved, and as far as I know, the majority of the people sitting in our congregation profess salvation. If you're saved, you know that if He could save you, He could save a crackhead. Amen. He could save a drunkard. He could save a whoremonger. He could save anybody. Amen. His arm is not shortened that He cannot save. You know what that means? He can reach wherever He needs to. Amen. He can do what needs to be done to save sinners. Now, what are we supposed to do? We just get excited about that. So excited that we can't keep quiet about what Jesus has done. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for letting us be in the house of God, letting us think on this story of this woman at the well one more time and see what You did for her. Lord, You did that for me. When I got saved, You brought me to a place of recognizing, seeing myself, my whole life as one big mess. You brought me to a place of realizing that You are the only Savior. You saved me. Now, Lord, help me to be so enthused with that. Help me to be so excited about that, that I must go and tell about that great man that brought me water from the well of grace. Lord, help us as a congregation be moved to follow You. In Jesus' name I ask You. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a song. If you need to come, if you need to be saved, altar's open, as they say. You can come, call on the Lord. If you're saved, you need to come, ask God to help you. Maybe you need to ask God, Lord, give me that victory. Give me that excitement. Give me that boldness to tell what Jesus has done. If the Lord spoke to you, some in the altar, maybe you need to come join them while we sing.